a big movement across the United States in states to legalize marijuana. Marijuana is a, and by the way, it doesn't make any difference with legal or illegal drugs. Drugs are drugs. And there's a, like a lot of things, there are some things maybe that can help you and other things can hurt you. But I was around when marijuana first came into the country as far as really becoming, you know, in mainstream. Nobody said it was medical at that time. You never heard anybody say that it was medical. It was a mind-altering drug, just like liquor is a mind-altering drug. And but just to say this here, that forever mankind has been trying to seek rest. God created us to need rest. It's part of our design. He rested on the seventh day. That does not mean that God was tired and wore out. It means that he put a pause and he created that resting phenomena that we need. He gave us a day of rest in the week. Truly and honestly, the seventh day is the day of rest. Sunday is a day of worship. That's just biblical, if you know, because a lot of folks get into a fight and a fuss about, well, when should you worship? Saturday or Sunday? Well, Saturday was a day of rest. But I believe also that worship can be rest. Worship day ought to be a day of rest, too, to a certain degree. In our country right now, there's just this longing. You can just feel it. You can sense it when you be around people. They're worn out. They're tired. They're weary. They've had it. They're looking for some way to get rest. Now, I'm going to say some things tonight. Now, I love vacation just as much as anybody else. How many's come back from vacation? You're wore out. You know, if you're not careful, you're just wore out from a vacation. Vacations are needful according to Scripture. Jesus had come apart and rest a while. And so they're needful and they're a good thing. But vacations in and of themselves won't bring you rest. There's only one place in this world that we're going to get rest. And Ruth being a picture of the church, being a picture of the bride of Christ, God wants you and I to have rest. He knows it's very important for us to have rest. Actually, part of your witness to other people is whether your soul, your spirit, your life is at rest. Because the world's in turmoil. And they're watching for people that have a rest. People that have peace, and even in the midst of their troubles and their storms and their trials, they're looking for that. And as your pastor tonight, and for myself, I know in my soul that rest is very, very important to a person. If I didn't get rest, I couldn't continue pastoring. If we didn't get rest, I'm telling you, whatever God's doing in your life, you need to learn how to rest. There's a song the Downing family has put out. In fact, I think she wrote, "You've Got to Rest." And it's so scriptural. And so tonight we're going to look at that, and there's various aspects of this, and just pray that God will help us to get through it. We're going to look at chapter 3, verse number 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter," and here it is, "shall I not seek," what? "Rest for thee. And now is not Boaz of thy kindred, whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. It shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. I hope before I get down through, if I preach on that one phrase, or why he lay down at the heap of the corn. But anyway, you have to understand, I got about 42 stuff going through my brain when I'm preaching, and I get to reading, and the first thing you know, I'm off on another rabbit track, because there's just an unending source of spiritual truth and gold in this book. Well, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." Now, next Sunday morning or Sunday night, I'm going to dive into the law of the kinsman, the redeeming kinsman, and so forth and all that. I just want to say this, just to interject this tonight, that unless you go back into Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you cannot understand rightly what this woman was doing and why she was doing it and why her mother-in-law told her to do what she did. No way to understand it right unless you go back to the Bible and just see what the law, what God taught him in the law for the nation of Israel. Verse 10, he said, "Blessed be thou, the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness and letter in than the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether rich nor poor nor rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning. And she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. And he said, bring the veil also that thou hast upon thee, and hast it, and hold it. And when she had, oh, there's just got to be something there. The veil and putting corn in the veil. Anyway, pray for me. And hold it. When she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley give he me. For he said unto me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Watch this now. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have done something that you read about in the New Testament. What did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. Until the man, till he hath finished the thing this day. Lord, help us to preach tonight. We need divine help in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to, we'll get there. To kind of get in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, we'll get there pretty soon. But rest is a wonderful word. I tell you that sometimes you just give anything if you could just rest. You get so tired, you get so weary, you just wore out working everything, just rest. It's a wonderful thing. But there's not much of it in this world. There's a disease you can get in America called Americanitis. Anybody know what Americanitis is? It's hurry, worry, and bury. Hurry, worry, and bury. That's called Americanitis. I mean, the whole country's in a hurry, the whole country is in worry, and then they're buried, and that's just Americanitis. And it's just, if you're not careful, your whole life gets into just a hurry and a worry, and the next thing you know, it's bury time. And I want to tell you tonight, God has designed this world with rest in mind. He rested, as I said, in Genesis chapter 2, and he taught his people to rest. When you're looking at music and you hear music, and this is a very, one of the good ways you can tell about what's godly and of God and what's not of God, godly music will have proper rests in it. Music is not music without rests. You just can't have music. And when you hear all this music that's crazy, it does not have proper rest in it. Oh, it has a certain kind of rest, but it's not the proper biblical kind of a rest in it. In fact, that's why music can sometimes drive people to do crazy things. Actually, ungodly music does just the opposite. It does not create rest. It creates turmoil and confusion and agitation in a person's mind. So even music is designed with that. I want to ask you a question tonight. How restful is your life? How restful is your soul? How restful is your spirit? There's a lot of unrest in America. There's a lot of conflict in America. And let me tell you something. You're not going to be without conflict. But what God offers you is in the midst of the conflict and the wickedness of this world, and the tragedies of the world, he offers you rest. One of the greatest examples of this is Noah in the ark. This world was being flooded with judgment and death and sorrow. And yet in the midst of that, Noah was able to rest in the ark. And that's your Old Testament typology of learning how to rest in the midst of a turbulent. I mean, to tell you, can you imagine what that ark was doing? Can you imagine the great fountains of the deep and what could have, I mean, I don't think anybody's ever seen it, but he was able to rest in the ark in the midst of the turmoil. God wants you and I to rest in the midst of the turmoil of our life. And there's a way to do it, and it's given to you right there in chapter 3. Well, there's marital conflict. I mean, tell you what, all over the country, there's marital conflict. People absolutely can't rest. Just marital trouble, marital trouble, marital trouble, marital trouble. I mean, it's all over America. Courts are full of it. Families are full of it. It's just everywhere. Marital conflict. There's family conflict. There's financial conflict. People are not resting because of their finances. They're not resting because of the economic unrest. They're always worried about what's going to happen here, worried about this and worried about that. And then there's the political unrest. And man, do we have a nation full of that right now. There's political unrest. And people, I mean, and it's true. I mean, the liberals and the progressives have let it be known they're ready for war. If they don't have their way and they're ready and they're not going to coexist with us. And their little bumper stickers don't mean anything. They're not willing to coexist with us unless they can dominate. And there's political turmoil in this country. And then there's personal unrest. And let me say something to you. When we're talking about rest, we're not just talking about physical rest in and of itself, because to have proper physical rest, you and I must have mental and spiritual and emotional rest and lay our heads on our pillows at night and be able to go to sleep. We need that. I want that for you people. I want that for myself, to be able to lay our heads on our pillows and to get rest and not be sitting there and laying our heads worrying about all this stuff and all kinds of turmoil. Lack of rest will cause a lot of physical and health problems and all kinds of problems. he'll start catching up with us. But what are people doing to compensate and to try to get rest? Well, we know they're taking a lot of pills in this country. A lot of pills. There's every kind of thing you can have shoved across the counter to you that you can imagine to try to help you get rest. There's a tremendous amount of what we call counseling and psychological advice and psychology and all kinds of stuff and 42 steps to this and 16 steps to that and all this stuff. And there's all the, I mean, people have literally gotten rich off of people's unrest. They will do anything, spend anything to try to get rest. Come over here for two or three nights and you can get rest. Or come down here and you can get rest. And again, that's not saying because Jesus told his disciples, come apart and rest a while. When John the Baptist's head was cut off, he told him, said, you come apart and rest a while. God knows we need that. But just going to a nice motel will not bring you rest. Just going to a beautiful place in the country will not necessarily bring rest to your soul. God knows that we've got to imitate that he's the one who created rest. We can have a work overload. Let me tell you something. I believe in working. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not careful, my dad used to say, son, remember this. Make sure you're milking the cows and the cows aren't milking you. You can get so much going. You can get so much work. You can get so many things going so much that you're not resting. Your mind is in a constant turmoil. Got to get this done. Got to get that done. Got to get this done. I have to fight this. You know, seem like I've always got 42 projects going, you know. And I like it, but I have to say, Lord, help me to control it. I can't just jump up in the morning and say, and just take off without talking to God. I've got to get direction. I have to plan. I have to make sure that I take time for God and I take time for Karen. I take time for the family. I take time for Reggie and the Lord. I'm not going to let things milk me. Don't let things milk. Don't let your job, your work milk you. And don't let it drain you and just drain the strength and the emotional power out of you. I'm telling you, I've really had to watch this through the years. I went through a deal where I literally, all of my neurotransmitters just were depleted out of my body. They were gone. A man told me then that, he said, I don't know how you're walking. He said, you should be a dead man. He said, you almost have no. I said, well, I knew I didn't have any sense, you know. But I'm telling you, you can get depleted. You can get so depleted physically and emotionally, there's just nothing left in you. By the way, it happened in the Bible to Elijah. Jonah, I believe, got that way. Let me tell you something. If you'd been through what Jonah had been through, you'd have been emotionally depleted. You can get there, and God knows we need that rest. What happens during rest? We're rejuvenated. We're renewed. That's during the night. That's what happens to us. We're re-strengthened, and our body gets new energy and ready to go the next morning. God knows what we need, this rest. People are using drugs to try to get rest from the turmoil of their mind. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, just to get away from reality of all the problems of their life. The liquor, the various stimulants, and all that reveals the fact that mankind does not have rest. As I said, entertainments. I don't know. I can't think of a show in Branson that entices me. I honestly can't. I mean, maybe there's a good one down there, but I can't think of a show in Branson that entices me that it would just. But the truth about it is, a lot of stuff that we do back in the Depression. You know what they called the movies? Now, during the Depression, now you had to go to town and go to the movie house to go to a movie. Does anybody know what they called it? The Great Escape. Escaping the hardness of life and just being able to get your mind. People like to read books because books take reality of life off their mind. They like to watch movies because it takes them out of reality. But what if you didn't have any books? What if you didn't have any movies? What if you didn't have anything to take you out of the realities of life? And so God knows that we need rest. Satan's tactics is to keep us from rest, to wear us out. Man's heart is restless apart from the Lord. Now, I want to give you tonight, right here in the book of Ruth, the formula for God's rest. She said to Ruth, by the way, Ruth is a picture of the believer. She's a picture of the church. In verse number 1, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? And then God, by his Holy Spirit, is going to tell you, boom, 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 how to get rest. Number 1, watch what it is. Now, first of all, she said, now verse number 2, she just got through saying, I'm going to seek rest for you. Now verse 2, what's it say? Now is not Boaz of our kindred. Who's Boaz in this story? Type of. Who's Boaz a type of? Jesus Christ. Number 1, if you are going to have rest, you must come to Christ. You are not going to find rest anyplace else except in Jesus Christ. Did he not say in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now watch this. Not the church, not the preacher, not the ministry. He said, you come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This just in the last week and a half, I've had just unbelievable junk thrown at me. Just unreal, crazy. And if I didn't have Christ to go to, I mean, if I just went the way of the world, I'd probably honestly be crazy. But you know something? In Christ, there's peace. In Christ, there's rest. And he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, tonight you need to ask yourself, how do I come to Christ? Well, you've just got to come to him in his word. You've got to come in him in prayer. You need to get along with the Lord and spend time with God. And honestly, just come to the Bible looking for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm just a strong believer. I'm not preaching off the side of my head tonight. I'm not giving you 3 points in a poem. I am telling you that life is real. Life is tough. There's a lot of stuff going on in your life, if you're not careful, that can destroy your rest, can destroy your peace. But Jesus, so she's telling him, first of all, is not Boaz of our kindred. By the way, look at that phrase. Is Christ not our kindred? He's closer kin to you than anybody you've got. I can tell you that. He is our kindred. There's the deal in the kinsman redeemer. There's a deal in that. I hope I can bring this out and study soon how Christ is truly our kinsman redeemer. Literally, he's our kinsman. But anyway, she says, is not Boaz our kindred whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Now that's an interesting place to go to, the threshing floor. Woo! What's this? You're going to get rest by going to Christ who is at the threshing floor. Whoa, what's the threshing floor about? What do you do on a threshing floor? They took the grain and beat out the grain and separated the grain from the chaff. Christ, when you go to him, he's going to the threshing floor. How many has ever felt like you've been through the threshing machine? That's part of it. That's where he's taking you. And it's through that threshing process that he takes the chaff out of our lives and is getting ready to give us rest. Now, boy, this is beautiful. Now, watch what he does. Next, verse number 3. Number 1, you're going to Christ down at the threshing floor. Okay. What's he tell her? What does she tell her to do? Number 1, do what? I'm going to tell you tonight. You listen to me good. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Have I not had a wild time this week in the ministry with this right here? First thing's wash. I'm going to tell you something. How many likes to go to bed dirty? How many's in your whole square hay bales? Raise your hand. How many's ever went home, went to bed, and your mom's got clean sheets, and you just jumped in bed from a whole night? How many knows you cannot rest until you clean up? I'm going to give you something so simple tonight. Listen, in the book of 1 John, Jesus said, he said, little children, these things I write unto you. He said, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourselves. He's not talking to lost crowd, he's talking to Christian people. If any man say he's not sin, he said, he's a liar. He said, you're not being honest with yourself. You're being dishonest. David over there in Psalm 51 said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. What did David say? He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Purge me. If you and I are going to get rest tonight, we have to get washed. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing. You can't get rest when you're just loaded with cow manure and hay seed and all kinds of dirt. You crawl in that bed and you're just going to sit there and turn and I'm going to take you. It's just, there's something about it. You can't rest. It's the same way about our sin. I've been dealing with situations. It's just crazy. Idiotic, crazy. People hitting me with junk and giving me excuses why they're full of bitterness, anger, garbage. And they always demonize. It's just like I was talking about. They're always demonizing anybody else. But you can tell their whole soul's at turmoil, or just in turmoil. They're in turmoil. I'm going to tell you something tonight. This is for me. This is for you. If you want to rest, be sure you deal with your sin. Get washed. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Watch it. Here it is. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're not, and I'm not going to get any rest tonight with sin in my life. It is not happening. First thing she said, you go to Boaz, you go to the threshing floor, and you wash. Live clean, you'll have rest. And I'm not talking about smoking or drinking either. I'm talking about hatred. I'm talking about pride. I'm talking about envy. I'm talking about gossip. I'm talking about secret sins that people can't see. You know what? I've always said I'd rather have 15 guys sitting on the front seat spitting tobacco than one little long tongue, something running around sowing discord to everybody. And I'm telling you tonight, if you say, man, I'm just not at rest, let God speak to you tonight about sin in your life. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. And you want rest tonight? I mean, I know this isn't deep theology. Clean up. Clean up. Get the sin out. I can't rest with sin in my life. God will not let me. And God will not let you. And I'm telling you tonight, there's nothing in the world any nicer than going to bed knowing your heart's right with God. You may have to be on your knees beside your bed for a few minutes. You may have to be there for 20 minutes. You may have to go all out in the yard and sit in a chair underneath a tree and say, Lord, I need to have a talk with you. God, I'm not right. I wish, Lord, I don't want to be this way. I didn't like being this way, but God is true. And I need your forgiveness. And Lord, I'd like to have even more than your forgiveness. I'd like to have grace to stay out of this. I'm telling you, now watch the next thing she says to do. Wash thyself, therefore, and secondly, anoint thee. Anointing is oil. It speaks of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to rest, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God gives rest. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness. God will give us rest. Anointing. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall he give the Spirit to them that ask? I want to tell you what, I'd hate to drive a car that didn't have oil in the engine. Things get to grinding. Things get to grinding. It's amazing how far in life we'll go without rest till something blows up. It's amazing how far we'll try to run without the anointing till something grinds itself totally out. I'm telling you tonight, this is so simple. This is so basic, but it's so real. This is not some deep theological deal. We need to live. If we want rest tonight, we need to go to Christ. Understand that this is going to be the threshing floor. What's he going to do? He's going to sort us out. He's going to talk to us. He's going to deal with us. He's going to show us what's wheat, what's chaff, what's not. He's going to do some separating. And it may feel like we've got a meeting. He may shake that out of us. And then we need to wash. And then we need anointing. Look at the next thing here. Put on thy raiment upon thee. That's the third thing in the verse number 3. Now, boy, listen. You want to rest? Naomi told her, she said, you wash. She said, you go to Christ. Going to be down at the threshing floor. Said, you wash. Then you anoint yourself. Get the Holy Ghost involved in this thing. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And they said, put on your raiment. You are never going to rest. Did you know the only kind of salvation there is in this world, true salvation, is eternal salvation? That's the only kind there is. Can I tell you something tonight? You listen to me on this broadcast, you believe you lose your salvation, you don't have salvation. I mean, you may have it, but maybe you don't know it, but I'm going to tell you this, the only kind of salvation there is eternal salvation. There ain't no other. God does not provide temporary salvation. He does not make that kind. Now, here's the thing. Watch this. She said, I want you to have rest, Ruth. Go to Christ, go to the threshing floor, wash, get anointed, and put on your raiment. She said, put thy raiment upon thee. You know what that is? That's putting the raiment of the righteousness of Jesus Christ upon you. Here's the secret. The Bible and the New Testament doctrine clearly teaches that Old Testament says all of our righteousness is as filthy what? Rags. That's a raiment. Rags. It's a raiment. You get in the New Testament, we're to put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's the fine linen of the saints in the book of Revelation. And here's what God, I want you to get this. Put on Christ's righteousness. Do not trust in your own righteousness. Throw your rags off. You'll never rest till you're resting in the righteousness of Christ. You will never rest as long as you think it's how good you live. You'll never rest until you say, I just simply rest in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it's not how good I am and how well I've performed and how well I'm enduring and hanging out and all that kind of stuff. You know why people's in a turmoil even in churches? Because they're not resting in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, the second thing about righteousness, there's positional righteousness which we have in Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. But then there's practical righteousness. And you can't rest if you're not living practically righteous. You cannot go out here and just go into sin and expect to have rest in your heart. It's not going to happen. And God, so she's saying there's two things in this righteousness, because there's two aspects of righteousness in the Scripture. Put on the righteousness of Christ, rest in that, don't try to trust in. You can't, across Facebook the other day come a feed, and bless this guy's heart, he means well. And I catch his feed pretty often, and he says, folks, be sure tonight before you go to bed, confess your sins lest you die in your sleep and go to hell. Brethren and sisters, be sure you confess your sins before you go to bed tonight because you might die in your sleep and you'd go to hell. That's not resting. That's not resting. That is saying that it's his confession that keeps him saved, not Christ's blood and not Christ's righteousness that keeps him saved. It's his own works. That's no different than the Catholic Church. Sorry. I mean, I'm telling you tonight, I'm afraid I'd forget one. Hallelujah! I'll give you something to make you shout. There's an offering in the Old Testament for the sins of ignorance. For the sins you don't even know you committed. They're covered by the blood of the Lamb of God. In fact, tonight, nobody listening to me in here or out there even knows quite all the sin you've ever committed. You don't even recognize half of it. In the eyes of the holy God, our sins are so, they're like the hairs of our head. We can't even count them. I get down beside my bed and make sure before I go to sleep that I've got everything covered, good land living, my peanut brain and my deceitful heart. The first thing I'd be doing is say, well, I don't think that was bad enough. It's craziness. Rest, amen. I lay my head on my pillow, not resting in how good Reggie's been that day, but resting in the finished work of Calvary. I put on the righteousness of Christ. That's what I'm resting in. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. If that's not enough, then what am I going to do? If His righteousness is not enough, there's no rest. There's no rest. Well, then let's go further. Get thee down to the floor. Get thee down to the floor. That's the next one. You cannot have rest exalting yourself. God won't allow it. Get thee down to the floor is humility. God gives grace to the lowly. Get thee down to the floor. As long as I'm trying to exalt myself, I'll have no rest. But as long as I'm exalting Him. What did John the Baptist say? He must increase and I must decrease. If I'm pushing Reggie, there's no rest. But if I'm pushing Christ, there's rest. You want to have rest tonight? Get low. Get low. Lord, I was nothing when You found me, and I'm nothing tonight. And what I am by the grace of God. Get low. Watch this. Only by pride cometh contention. Contention, you ain't having much rest. And that contention only comes by pride. God says, get low, you get rest. I will go on. Now watch this next thing. The fifth thing is, make not thyself known. Make not thyself known unto the man. We are not to have rest in your heart. Do not try to make yourself known. Make Him known. And by the way, oh, this is good. Did you know a bride is not known by her own name, but by the name of her husband? I'm not to be exalting my name. The whole lesson here is that I'm not to be exalting my name. I'm to be exalting His name. If I'm wed to Christ, I should be known by His name, not my name. And then over in verse 18 of that chapter, let's just back up back up to verse 5. Let's get one more thing about resting. Verse number 5, and she, Ruth, said unto her, Naomi, watch this, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. You want to have rest? Just do what God asks you to do. Just be obedient. The old revivalist used to say, a revival is nothing less than the beginning of new obedience to what God has already said. If you want to have rest, just do what God says. You know what? I'm living in funny times. I mean, I'll be truthful with you. It's just like there is a satanic spiritual warp about preaching. And what it is, it's this spirit of rebellion. It's a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We want to be, quote, godly, but we don't want any power and authority over our life. We want to be Christians, but we don't want the Bible telling us how to live. And I'm going to tell you something. That's why pastors are pulling their hair out, because people in their congregations across the country are just, I mean, they got all these problems, and pastors are running here, and pastors are running there, and they're running over here, and they're just running over there, and everybody, and they got all these problems. And the whole problem is, people won't do what the Bible says. And so we developed all these, quote, religious ways to try to fix everybody's problems. And that's why they came up with all this pastoral counseling business. Let me tell you something. You don't need pastoral counseling. You just, don't think, you know what a pastor ought to say? I'll counsel you. Just go do what the Bible says. Just obey the Bible. I mean, I'm not trying to negate help. I'm not trying to negate, you know, fellowship and encouraging one another and helping one another. And there's times when you just need somebody to remind you of what you already know. Nobody's going to tell you what you don't already know. Maybe just remind you and lovingly tell you, hey, listen, remember this. But the truth about it is, most of the time, you know what most of it is? Fighting against God's Word. This is what I'm telling you. I'm seeing it. I'm experiencing it. I'm dealing with people who are talking super spiritual, but the truth about their turmoil, the truth about their problems is they are fighting against the Word of God. And as long as you're saying, I don't care, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it, you are not going to rest. There needs to be a Ruth submission. All that thou hast told me, I will do. God, I'm not going to fight you anymore about this issue. Right here in this church, it just seems like there's some issues I preach on. You know, and you say, well, I'll tell you what, what's dress got to do with salvation? It's not your salvation, but sure has a lot to do with your rest. When something is clear in Scripture, when something is just there, and you know, and there's this fighting against it, people's not going to rest. There will be a turmoil in your heart. There'll be a turmoil. You say, well, there's a lot more important. And people need to know. And by the way, that's what these churches are doing out here. They're making it sound like if you deal with anything like that, you're just legalistic and you're just, why don't you start helping people instead of preaching on that? And people don't, and they'll start on that. And the whole deal is they don't want to deal with disobedience. They don't want to deal with disobedience. And I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I'm not trying to be smart. But I want to tell you something. Until verse 5 comes into the Christian's life, all that thou sayest to me to do, I will do. You're not going to have rest. Now, you can stay here tonight. I'm telling you right now. You think about tonight, Lord, show me an area where I'm in disobedience to you. And I'll tell you, that'll be the area that's keeping you from getting rest. And I promise you tonight, if you yield to God and surrender to God in that area, you'll lay down your head tonight. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I've fought God about issues. But the moment I surrender and say, God, I'm done fighting you. If the Bible says it, I'm going with it. And it's like peace comes. Well, I'm not going to get through this message tonight, I don't think. But anyway, then chapter 3, verse 18, it says this. She went and did everything, and here's what God told her to do, verse number 18. Then she said, that's Naomi speaking to Ruth. Watch it. Here it is. Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man, watch this, will not be in rest until he hath finished it this day. Now you watch this. Watch this. Ruth, the believer, did everything she was instructed to do. Then all she had to do is just sit still and watch God take care of the rest of it. Man, I'm going to tell you something. God will not rest till he's taking care of the matter. When you can get God taking care of managing your rest, you've got something. Tonight I want to say, give you some things to rest in. Number one tonight, rest in his finished work. Jim, when was it, how many years ago was it you were saved? Approximately? About 30 years ago. I remember a time watching you when you learned to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I remember watching you grow in the Lord when you came to realize it was done. I remember just the peace and the gentleness and the sweetness of his soul that came when I don't know for what reason, because I don't know all about your life, but I saw and I literally could see in you the rest come by trusting in the finished work of Calvary. I want to tell each one of you tonight, number one, rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Just say, listen, if what he did isn't enough, there's nothing else I can do to make it happen. I'm just going to rest. Let me tell you tonight about your preacher. I've been through the mill on this because I'm very kind of introspective. And I mean, I'm going to tell you something about your preacher. He don't tend to die and go to hell. Okay? And I've washed through this thing. If Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection and faith in him does not save me, I have no hope. None. But let me tell you tonight this. If God told me, Reg, you're dying in 15 minutes, get ready to die, I wouldn't know anything else to do. I wouldn't know anything else to do. I just literally throw myself on the mercies of God through the merits of Jesus Christ, and that's it. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm resting in that. I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. I want you folks to have that. Secondly, tonight, I want you to rest in the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. You can rest in that. He's faithful. Don't let the devil fret you about God's faithfulness. He said he'd provide your needs according to his riches and glory. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you, and on and on and on. And he talks about, God before us, who can be against us? Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. Can I tell you something? Jesus Christ is coming back for the church. The trumpet is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. And those of us who remain are going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Rest in that. It's really going to happen. It's more sure than the next presidential election. I promise you. I'm telling you right now, you rest in God's faithfulness. You rest in the fact that he said that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. You rest in the fact that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You rest in the fact that to die is gain. Rest in the fact that he has went away to prepare a place for you, and he's coming again to receive you unto himself, that where he is, there you may be also. Rest in the fact that you're going to rule and reign with him forever. Rest in the fact that you're going to have a new glorified body, fashioned like in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rest in it. He's faithful. He doesn't lie to anybody about anything. He doesn't exaggerate, stretch, nothing. It's going to be just like he said. That blesses my heart. When my body is tired, when my spirit is low, when I'm discouraged, depressed, whatever it may be, go back to his word and look at the faithfulness of God. Rest in his sovereignty. God's in control. Donald Trump is not in control. Okay? I'm glad he's president, not Hillary, but he's not really in control. God is controlling Donald Trump. God is in control in China. God is in control in Asia. God is in control in Saudi Arabia. God is in control in England. He's in control in South Africa. He's in control. He's sovereign. Nobody pulled a surprise on God today anywhere on the face of this earth. He's sovereign. There was not a sparrow that fell upon this earth's surface today but what your Heavenly Father knew about it. He's sovereign. These are things that will give you rest in a tumultuous world. You wake up tomorrow, Fox News alert! Flash, flash, oh my goodness, what happened up in Washington, D.C.? Did you see that over there? Oh, good little living, what are we going to do? And the rest of your day, your heart's... That ain't the way God wants you and me to live. I'm just telling you. Amen. Rest in His love. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loved you before you ever knew Him. He knew you before you were formed in the womb. He loves you. Don't let Satan rob you of that. Every once in a while you need to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Then you need to rest in His care. He said, behold the lilies. Behold the fowls of the air. I heard a good thing this week. A man told me, said, Reggie, he's an old preacher, told me one time, he said he had never had buried a man starve to death. Did y'all get that? This preacher is 80-some years old. He said, I've never buried a man starve to death. You're going to make it. You're going to get your last meal. Okay? There ain't a preacher in this country ever buried a man starved to death. God will take care of you. You can rest in that. And you're just worrying about it. It's going to be all right. Rest in His provision. Rest in His mercy. If God said He forgave you, He forgave you. He wasn't kidding you. He wasn't playing games with your mind. He wasn't tormenting your soul. He forgave you. He forgave you. I want you to think about the worst sin you've ever committed, and I'm telling you, God's forgiven you. If you've asked Him to forgive you, He has forgiven you. If you've pleaded the blood of Jesus Christ, that sin is gone, removed as far as the east is from the west. It's in the sea of His forgiveness, and it's done and over with, out of here. Never, never, never be remembered against you. Are you listening to me tonight? It'll never be remembered against you no more. Never. Rest in it. The devil's like a stinking dog. He'll drag your sins back up in the yard every morning if you'll let him. Build a fence with God's word. And then shoot the sorry sucker. Amen. Rest in His righteousness, not in yours. There is no rest in my righteousness. Dennis, I am so wicked, it's unfathomable. Any of you churches out there think about ever having me come? I'm wicked. Know that before I come. But I'm resting in His righteousness, not mine. Rest in His promises. There are some reasons tonight. It seems like it's kind of quiet in here tonight. I don't know. Whatever, but I'm going to give you something tonight. There's some reasons you won't get rest, and the Bible tells you. Psalms 38, verse 3 said, there's no rest in my bones because of my sin. Got to get rid of that sin. You got to wash. God says, won't let you rest as long as there's sin in your life. Foolishness. The Bible said that whether a man rage or laugh, a fool, he won't rest. Foolishness and contention will keep you from having rest. Not knowing God's ways. The Bible said in Psalms 95:11, said, if you don't know God's ways, you won't be able to rest. We need to know how the ways of God. If you live for temporal values, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 2:23, he said, it's all vanity. And he said, I don't have any rest with it. He said, I've got all this stuff in it. Don't let me rest. Too much stuff will not let you rest. You've got to take care of it all. Living wickedly, Isaiah 57, no peace saith my God to the wicked. If you fret and worry, Philippians says, be careful for nothing. Fretting and worrying will keep you from rest. Bickering and jealousy and backbiting and all that kind of stuff, it'll keep you from rest. We talked about the anointing a while ago. When the shepherds would anoint the sheep, they put that oil on their head. There was a purpose in that. There's things called nose flies, and they're horrible. And they get in the sheep's noses, and they'll just run circles. They'll lay down, jump up, lay down, jump up. And that's just like, I'm telling you, let me give you something, okay? I said the other night, now you listen to this. I said the other night about bitterness, putting the cross, the tree into the bitter waters and make them sweet. And I asked you all to think about that. God showed me one thing this afternoon. I was praying about it. I said, Lord, I need to know. I've asked those people. I've talked to those people. I've told them to put the cross in the bitter waters. But, Lord, I haven't been able to tell them how to do that. And this is so silly. It probably sounds stupid. It's kind of like the Lord said, Reggie, that's because you didn't go to the cross. Go to the cross, and I will show you how to put the tree in the bitter waters. When Jesus was on the cross, what did He say? Well, tell me some of the things He said. He actually said seven statements from the cross. That's it. Father, forgive them. Forgiving people is putting the cross into the bitter waters. Father, forgive them. I'll tell you another thing He said. It is finished. There's the rest. It's done. I can't do any more. He said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. The Bible says in Peter, it says, committing ourselves unto Him that judgeth righteously. Lord, I can't fix this. I can't make them believe the truth. I can't make them stop all their garbage. But I can commit it to You. And it's like God said, Reggie, I'll show you how to put the tree in the water. And that's, you would think that a preacher would know that, wouldn't you? But see, unless the Holy Spirit reveals stuff to us, we don't get it. We can have all the doctrine right, but unless the Holy Spirit opens our eyes, we don't get it. And so we need to know God's ways. But I want you to see this picture before we close out here of this sheep. And he's not had any anointing. The Holy Spirit is so needful. Because if he doesn't have anointing, the flies will get in his eyes and they'll get up in his neck. They're actually called nose flies. And they will get up in there and they'll lay their eggs and then them maggots hatch. And then maggots are just eating. Watch this now. They're eating. Those maggots, those worms are eating on the inside of his nostrils. And he cannot rest. And you watch a sheep doing that. He'll run over here and lay down. And he'll lay down and then just a little bit he's up. And he jumps over here and then he's doing this right here. And he lays down. He wants to rest so bad. He wants to rest. He wants to rest so bad. But the worms and the nasal flies, they just keep eating on him and eating. I'm going to tell you, that's what happens to us when we let bitterness get in. It eats on us and eats on us and eats on us and eats on us. And I'm going to tell you, the only way to fix that is the Holy Spirit of God. Now I'm going to tell you, my flesh has not changed one iota since I got saved. Actually, I see it worse than I ever did. I just never knew how terrible it was because I compared myself among other people and I couldn't see it. I had a situation happen. Remember Wednesday night? Was it Wednesday night or last Sunday night? I asked y'all to pray for me. When was it? Especially pray for me. When was that? Wednesday night or last Sunday night? Anybody remember? Nobody remember? Did anybody pray? I know you did. I know you did. I was going down the road this week and I had a phone call. And this guy, I'm telling you, I ain't took such a chewing and I don't know when. And he laid into me how that I didn't love this certain another person. I was not his friend. I didn't care about him. And I mean, he just laid in on me. I mean, it hit me so hard. I was like, what on earth? Where did this come from? And boy, it was tough. And I knew going down the road, I knew I said, God, if you don't get a hold of this, I will be miserable for 6 weeks. But you know what? God's been this is what scares me about preaching anything. Every time I preach something, you're going to get tried with it. It's going to come down the pike and it's going to get tested in that area. But I want to tell you all something. Yes, it stirred me up. Yes, it aggravated me. Yes, my flesh, you know, went on me. I just, you know, but you know what? I called Karen. I told her about it. I said, Karen, would you just be praying for me? Because I don't want to be ate up with this. And I was working. Actually, sister, I was working down there. I was working on my tractor and I had my shovel and my rake and stuff and I was working. And that just the sweetest peace came. And I'm going to tell you tonight, it's just like I'm good. But I knew that if I did not get the Holy Spirit in the middle of that thing, I was going to have nose worms in my nose. I couldn't rest working. I couldn't rest sleeping. I couldn't rest eating. I couldn't rest anywhere. And I don't tell you this night, don't feel sorry for me because you know what I know? You folks get hit the same way I do. There's no temptation taking us but such is common to man. Why, if some of you told tonight what happened to you last week or the week before, we'd all gather around you and pray. We'd feel so sorry for you tonight. But you may this week get hit with something bad. And here's what I want to tell you. Go to Boaz. Go to the threshing floor. Let him beat out the junk that's not good. Let him throw you up in the air and then wash. Get that anointing. Get the Holy Spirit. Get the Holy Spirit. And tell you something, folks. I'm a believer in being filled with the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit. Get in your Bible and don't let those nose flies lay eggs in your nose. And then go to Jesus. Just lay down at the feet of Jesus. Get low. Do like David did when old Shimei cussed him, threw rocks at him. Maybe the Lord's bidding him to do this. Maybe the Lord is using that person to test me and to grow me and rest in the Lord. If there's anything I'd want for everybody that goes to this church, I want you to rest. I don't want you all tore up. I don't want you worrying to death. Now, it's easy for me to get up here and preach tonight, but it might be another thing tomorrow afternoon, Brother Jeremy. I don't know what I'll get hit with. I may have to say, what was it I preached? But let's rest in the Lord, okay? So don't worry about the news. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about anything. Just rest in the Lord. And I guarantee you something. God will give you a testimony to somebody when they see you resting. What's that old song say? Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be a sin the double cure. Boy, I'm telling you tonight, let's rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? I never did get to Hebrews chapter 4, but here's the deal. God was admonishing them because they would not obey him and let them get into the promised land where they could rest. And he said, there remaineth therefore rest unto the people of God. And he said, you're not getting there because you're not letting me give you rest because you're just over there rambling around in the wilderness. Get in Canaan and rest in the Lord. It's going to be all right. Okay? I love y'all. I think I've quit preaching and started rambling. Don't you, Brother Glidden? I think the preaching stopped and the rambling started. Anyway, let's stand together tonight.